allowing us yet another opportunity to come and to worship him in spirit and in truth. We thank Brother Woods for the beautiful songs that have been led and for the beautiful way in which you have participated in the worship service thus far. God is just such a good God. If for no other reason, the fact he got you up this morning and you were able to come through the doors this morning is evidence of the fact that God is good. And so we're thankful to him for, again, giving us this day and this time to honor him in worship. To those of you that are visiting with us, we are truly appreciative of you being here. And we hope that you will be benefited by the worship services. And we sincerely thank you for your presence, and you'll be regarded again later on in the worship service. I want to remember Brother Gibbs as he is traveling at this time. Just always keep him in prayer as he goes about teaching and preaching the word of God. I believe that a few others of our leadership are traveling at this time as well. We want to keep them also in our prayers. I want to again have you to turn to the text that was read in your hearing, so beautifully read just a few moments ago, Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, and looking at verses 12 through 17. Revelation 6, verse 12 through 17. And when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? In keeping with our theme for this quarter of the victorious harvest, I want to take from verse number 17 of this text a theme for this lesson. It says, for the great day of his wrath is come. But I want to take from that verse this theme, the great day of harvest. The great day of harvest. Every now and then, I believe that it is important for all of us to stop and kind of take a reset in our thinking about our view of life and even our view of worship, and ask yourself the question, why am I here this morning? Why are we here singing songs of praise? Why are we here uttering prayers, participating in the remembrance of Christ, giving of our monies? Someone may respond, well, Brother Worthy, it's obvious why we're here. We're here to worship God. Amen. And that's right. Someone else might respond, I just felt like I just needed to be here. Someone else may feel like, I just felt like going to church today. There are lots of different reasons that individuals are here, just as there are reasons that individuals are not here. However, I believe that one of the main reasons we should be here is because of the events which John reveals here in Revelation chapter 6, beginning at verse number 12. You know, it's easy. That's why I say it's very important for sometimes we need to reset our thinking. It's very easy to become completely consumed in the world that we live in the events, in the culture, sometimes even the pleasures, the politics, the desires, the cares, the worries of the day and even today. But everything is going to culminate with this great day that John speaks of here in Revelation chapter 6. I want you to look, and if you will, just imagine the scene that John points here. The first part of the text mentions the fact that the world is going to change. Look at what he says again. I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. Sun became black as sackcloth and of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain, every island were moved out of their places. Now, some would question, well, is John speaking literally here? And there are different schools of thought, but I can say this for sure. We know that God is a God of order. Every morning, sun comes up in the east, goes down in the west. At night, we see the moon in its place, shining brightly. For years, men have been able to track stars and track constellations. God is a God of order. We take a breath and we breathe oxygen. In the heavens, there are constellations and planets that have maintained their position over all these years. But as we look at the text, this order that God has put in place now is going to be in disorder. The world is going to change. It's going to be changed from the state that we currently know it to be. It's going to mark the beginning of those things that God is bringing about to bring an end to this world. It's going to be a great day, and that it's going to be one that is marked by some marked changes to the way that God created this world. For those that are in Christ, it's going to be a day of harvest. But for those that are outside of Christ, it's going to be a day of horror. Look at what he says. The second part of the text, beginning at verse number 15. This regards the judgment of all men. Everybody going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Look at what he says. He said, all the kings of the earth, great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bond man, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Oh, when I look at this, you may have been a king, but now you're going to stand before the King of Kings. You may have been a great man, but you're going on this day stand before the great I am. You may have been a rich man, but you're going to stand before the one in which the scriptures say the cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. You may have been a chief captain, but you're going to stand before the one that is the captain of our salvation. You may have even been a bond man, but you are standing before the one who was able to make you free from the bondage of sin. It's going to be a great day. Everybody's going to stand before God. And then look what it says in verse number 16. It says, and these men said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the one or the face of the one that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Just like the world is going to be changed, the minds of some men are going to be changed on that day as well. On that day, in an instant, they're not going to be any more atheists. Not going to be any more infidels. Not going to be any more Gnostics. Men today defiantly raise their fist in a form of defiance against God. I don't believe there's a God. Show me that there's a God. Prove to me that there's a God. I'm good. I'm great all by myself. But they're not going to be able to argue against God on that day because they're going to look up and see him. They're going to see Christ coming back in his glory. And it makes no difference how what you think and what you feel and what you may have felt was right. At that moment in time, you're going to be able to see God for yourself, for the Christian. It's going to be a time of horror. But for the atheist, for the Gnostic, for the infidel, for the one that did not get their right life right, it's going to be a day of horror. Not too many folk talking about this these days. But it's here in the book. It's here in the book. You know, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but yes, I am. Paul stated, knowing he on the end of looking at this thing in terror, I want to face God in peace. You know, when I think about this, Jesus himself spoke of this day. Turn with me, if you would, put on the screen, Matthew chapter 24, looking at verse number 29 through 31. Matthew chapter 24, looking at verse number 29 through 31. The Bible says immediately, after the tribulation in those days, look at what he's saying, how he cooperates with John. He said, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And look what it said, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. He's talking about everybody that doesn't believe in God and didn't believe in God and did not make a preparation for his coming. There's a time of mourning. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds in heaven with great power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound. Not only are you going to be able to see him, you're going to be able to hear him too. Oh, this is a great day of harvest. When I think about this, Paul states over in Romans chapter 14, verse number 10 and verse number 11, it says we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Then he said, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. It's going to be a time in which every knee is going to acknowledge. When you talk about the bowing of the knee and the confessing, this means that everybody is laying claim to the fact that God is coming back. You know, not only will this be a day in which there will be a change of the world, and not only will it be a day in which God is going to bring judgment upon all men, but it's going to be a day of glorious harvest. See, as John writes here, as I stated just a moment ago, John writes from the vantage point of the sinner. But when we look at this text, Luke writes about it, Matthew writes about it, Mark writes about it, and when we look at Luke's version, in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 25, Luke speaks to this day, and he uses the words of Christ to describe this day as well. In Luke chapter 21 and looking at verse number 25, notice Jesus' words that he uses again to describe this day. He said there should be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring. And then he says men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven, there it is again, shall be shaken. And then they shall then see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. But now I want you to see how Luke gives some words of comfort for the Christian here in verse number 28. He said, and when these things began to come to pass, he said, then look up. Look up. And then he said, and lift up your heads. He said, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know, I don't know about you, but there have been some times in my life, some of the trials of this life, that have caused my head to hang down. Worries, troubles, conflicts, woes. What were they, brother? Were they? Never mind, I had them. But when I look at this text, again, for the sinner is calling for the rocks to fall down on me. But Jesus said, when I come, it's a time for you to look up, lift up your head, for your redemption is nigh. When you have lived the kind of life that God has called you to live, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of disappointment, we've had to face death. We've had to face all sorts of sickness, all the things that you have to go with through this world. He already told us in this world, you're going to have troubles, but be of good courage. I've overcome the world. But when I come down, when you see me coming down out of the sky, for the sinner, they're going to be calling for the mountains to fall on you, on me. But when you see me, look up. Lift up your head. It's going to be a day of victory. It's going to be a day of harvest. It's going to be a culmination of all the promises that God has made for each and every one of us. When I think about the goodness of God, We just need to be people that continue as we look forward to that day of harvest. We need to be people that keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. Bible says in Psalms chapter 126 and verse number 5, it says, sow in tears, but reap in joy. That day is going to be a day of joy. Hosea, way back in the long ago, Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 12, he said, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Not only is it going to be a day of joy, it's going to be a day of mercy for the Christian. Keep on sowing, church. Sow in our worship. Sow in our study. Sow in our giving. Sow in our love. Sow in our life and our example. Sow in our prayer. Sow in sharing of faith. Sowing in everything that we do, because we know on that day, even though there are going to be some calling for rocks and mountains to fall on them, even though there are going to be some that are stricken with fear on that day, even though there are going to be some that are going through all sorts of misgivings because they didn't prepare for that day, let us all live our lives in such a way so that when that day comes, and it's coming, we don't know when, and it makes no difference what man says. And let us not get so comfortable in our daily existence that we're not prepared for his coming. Either he's coming first for this world, or either first he's coming for me or you. And the way that I die and leave this world is a way that I will stand before God. We have to take this thing seriously, church. It's a great day of harvest, but it's a harvest for those that are prepared to be harvested. There might be someone here that is not a member of the Lord's church. We want you to be prepared for that harvest. Get with me, if you will, Romans chapter 6. Verse number 4 and 5 on the screen. You need to be prepared for that harvest, because God is going to bring a culmination of things. He's bringing about an end to this world. You know, that's why, again, as I was stating at the very first of the lesson, I don't get so consumed in all the things that are going on around this world. Election coming up, if things go the way I want them to go, that's fine. If it doesn't, I'm not worried. I'm just going to keep on preparing for this great day of harvest. And I don't want to put it off. I don't have any time to put it off. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a short while, and then it vanishes away. Yesterday, preached a eulogy for a 16-year-old young lady. You would have thought years before, but after 16 years, she's gone. We don't have time to waste. We don't have time to play around with this thing called life. Amen. We need to be ready. Amen. Here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you got to come and be added to the Lord's church the way that you should be. God is coming for a harvest, but he can't harvest anything that has not been planted. Bring it up again. They said, well, you didn't do anything with it. Bible said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Next verse. Then he said, for if we have been what? If we have been planted, planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We've all, if you're a member of the body of Christ and you went down in water, you were planted. And as you live and you grow and you continue to sow those things that God has told you to do, when time for him to come back, he is just going to reap the harvest of what's been planted. And then as I have been planted, I continue to sow. Again, I sow my love, sow my devotion, sow in my worship, sow in my study, sow in my prayer. And as I continue to sow, one of these days, I'm going to be able to reap the harvest of a reward that fadeth not away. The great day of harvest. For the Christian, it's a day of harvest. For the non-Christian, it's a day of horror. If he came back today, if he came back at this very moment, I ask you, would it be a day of harvest? Or would it be a time of horror? Make your calling and your election sure. If you're here today and you need to make a change in your life, you're here today, you need to come to Christ. We beg of you to do so. We ask that you please come as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
God is so good. God.